Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the Nation Billing Network. Tonight's topic is Nation Billing Presents Men, the Maintainers of Women. Sister Gidget, your host. What's up, Sister Gidget?
Assalamu alaikum, DJ Black Season. How are you?
Walaikum salam, sister. I'm doing well.
Praise be to Allah. And good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Nation Building Presents Men, the Maintainers of Women. So I want to thank the listening audience, those of you who have joined us in the chat room, and those of you who are joining us by phone. Welcome back to Nation Building Presents. And I am so honored tonight to have a panel of very distinguished gentlemen with us tonight. Before we introduce them, let us just get started in our usual way. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. I further bear witness that the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, leader, teacher, and guide. And I greet you all in our greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. And it is It is my distinct honor to present a panel of gentlemen, and I'm going to start. I might go in age order. Let me see. Let me start with Brother Jahad Ali. Are you there, sir?
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Soldier, come down front and center and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you.
Yes, ma'am. All praise be to Allah. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness there's no God but Allah, who appeared to us in the person of Master Farah Muhammad. I also further bear witness that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad is Allah's messenger, and make no mistake about it, he is the exalted Christ and is alive and in power. And I also bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, our divine grace, and our divine warner. And in their holy and righteous names, I greet the panel and those listening with the greeting words of peace of As-salamu alaykum.
Wa-alaykum as-salam, sir.
Wa-alaykum as-salam.
I'm Brother Jihad Ali, 4-star general of the Defenders of Farrakhan, and I'm here to be not too long, but I hope to be strong, and I hope to deliver some truth to the ears of our people tonight. So,
praise be to Allah.
I'm ready to get it cracking, fam.
It's an honor to finally hear your voice. We chop it up so much on Facebook. This Problem 13.
Salam alaikum, brother. How you doing?
Well,
I guess I have no need to introduce our next panelist, Brother Alexander Abdul Aziz Muhammad, better known as Problem 13. Come on down here front and center, soldier, and don't introduce yourself, but present yourself, since we all know who you are.
Praise be to Allah. I just say in the name of Allah, the Messenger of Mercy. I bear witness there's no God but Allah. Muhammad is the Messenger. We just here to, build.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Okay. And also we have with us for the first time, since, of course, everybody knows that Problem 13 and Brother Jihad Ali are frequent visitors to the network, but for the first time we have with us, and we are honored to have with us, Student Minister Mustafa Abdul Muhammad. So come on down, soldier, front and center. Introduce yourself to those of us who don't know you and present yourself to others and tell us a little bit about you, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, with Allah's help, with Allah's guidance, I bear witness there is no God but Allah, who came to us in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praise is due forever, ever, ever, for starting a process of bringing the black man and black woman back to their godhood and God state, and raising up those great examples in our midst in the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who we can follow their personal example, how a man can become God, how a woman can become God. I have been blessed to be a member of the Nation of Islam and a follower of Islam for the past 17 years. For the past few years, I've been blessed to be a student in the ministry, helping the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and more specifically, very recent, being a steward and servant over a beautiful group of believers here in Pensacola, Florida, under Muhammad Mosque 98. I'm very honored to be here tonight to give insight and to serve and to help to the best of my ability.
And thank you so much, Brother Minister. We are so honored to have you with us tonight. Okay, so let me just tell everybody, if you have your computers on or if you happen to be speaking by speakerphone, please either put your Bluetooth in or come off speaker so we won't hear any feedback. We will take questions. Those of you who have questions, please press 1 on your dial pad if you're joining us by phone. Those of you in the chat room, please type in your questions or your comments, and of course, we will address them on your behalf. And if I'm not mistaken, Brother Ivan X has joined us. Brother Ivan, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. Welcome.
Wa-alaykum salam, sir. We just got through introducing everybody else, so you stepped in right on time. Brother Ivan, come down front and center, soldier, introduce yourself.
I'm Brother Ivan from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I'm ready for this evening to see what we got and have some fun with the believers.
Praise is due to Allah. Okay, well, gentlemen, thank you all so very much. I just want to give you some history right quick of where this topic came from. This topic came from a couple of brothers, and one of them is on the phone, and I ain't going to call his name with his little young self. But I was engaged in some conversations with a couple of brothers this past week, and we got to talking about men being the maintainers of women, and I was taken aback by the different variations of opinions that was going on from that I was receiving from our men, and so I thought it would be be a very good topic to come on and discuss the variations and where those variations are actually stemming from. So I'm going to go around the panel. I'm going to ask them all one particular question that I want each of them to answer before we actually get into the meat of our topic. Okay? And DJ Black Seas, I'm getting some feedback. Do you know where that's coming from?
Yeah, I do. And hold on for 1 second. I'm going to mute it out. Okay.
Okay. All right. All right. So the first question I want to ask all of you. Oh, and I'm gonna have to cut his mic back on because he has to respond. How should a man maintain a woman? And I'm gonna start with you, Brother Alexander, so we can get this fight over with.
Well, first and foremost, a woman wants to be secure. So in this day and age that we live in, you gotta have money. You know, but it's not the most important thing. Mental and spiritual securement is also necessary. So if you're in the Nation of Islam following the guidelines under the leadership of the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan, then if your wife married an FOI and you're not an FOI, then that can cause mental insecurity. That can cause spiritual insecurity, even if the woman is there. Because now your wife is saying, well, I thought I married a Muslim man. Now I'm seeing something else. Where is this marriage going? And now she's insecure in the marriage and in her faith. You see? So it's not just money. But on the physical level, you know, money is very important. Now, me and my wife, right now on this music grind that I'm on, there is not a lot of money. There's only a lot of faith. But right now, that faith seems to be strong enough to carry it. You know? So, you know, there's different levels of maintenance of anything. You know, but physical maintenance is definitely important and money is necessary. You know, if you got on a pair of Gators, you got on a pair of $400 Gators and a new Stacey Adams suit, and your wife's garment got holes in it, and the shoes are run down in the heel, then you ain't maintaining
that. Come
on,
Brett. Come on, Brett, man.
You see what I'm saying? So it's different levels of maintenance. You know, when you say maintenance, you have to be specific on which particular level of maintenance are you referring to. But the Quran doesn't specify in what area. It just says that men are the maintainer. So that means that, you know, the man is the maintainer in all areas.
Yes, sir.
You know?
Okay.
That's basically it. That's my answer.
Okay.
Praise
all
be to Allah.
All right. And Brother Ivan?
Yes, ma'am.
So how should a man maintain a woman?
I don't know anything about anything. No, I'm just joking.
Yeah, right.
Well, I'll say this first of all. I'm no expert. I remember the Brother Amos. May Allah be pleased with him. When I was a captain, I'm saying this, when I was a captain, and there was a brother and a sister who wanted me to counsel them. Of course, me never being married, I'm like, well, I've never been married, so. Well, I can't counsel you, but I went to Brother Ames for advice about that because they insisted on me counseling them, and he asked me one simple question. He said, "Brother, do you know right from wrong?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, counsel them then."
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so I'll say this. I've never been mad, but I do have common sense. I'll say this, though. One of the things that I think one of the main things that a man has to do, outside of what the brother just said, is very important about the money. If each woman has an individual nature, outside of her being just the basic nature that all women and females have. I think one of the main things we as men have to do when we marry a sister is we have to study her constantly to learn her individual personality and character. It's very hard to maintain somebody if you don't know them, if you're not studying them and seeing what her needs are, what her wants are, when she says a certain thing, when she does a certain thing a particular way. You know how to respond because you studied her. And, of course, it's not something that you study just a little while. It's an ever-going process because she's evolving just like you are. So you have to constantly be studying and paying attention to her in order to maintain her, because she's going to be a different person 5 years from now than when she was when she married you. And so you have to update your study of her, constantly studying her all the time, paying attention to her, even so much as I've seen brothers that say they take notes, literally write notes down. And that's what I've been told about. I have a friend who's been married for 21 years, and he said he has a notebook of notes that he, and that's a good tip. He has a notebook full of notes. He's a Christian brother, but I've been knowing him since we was young. But he's been married 21 years, and he literally takes notes about different things that his wife does and says, and he does a comparative analysis, and he's been able to keep up with her in that way of maintaining her, and he's been pretty successful doing it as a result. So I think, you know, like what the brother said, you know, even if, like for instance, what happens if you run, if you get hurt or and you can't function like you normally do? Well, then do you know how she deals with stress? Have you studied her in a stressful situation? You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. How do you comfort her when a stressful situation comes along? All that kind of stuff is very important. So I think that, in my humble opinion, outside of physically maintaining her, I think we have to study who she is and who she becomes over a period of time in order to properly maintain her.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you, Brother Ivan. And Brother Jihad?
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me,
Queen? You need the question. The question is, how does a man maintain a woman, in your opinion?
Okay, yes, ma'am. Thank you. I would like to say, first, if you look at the Christian world or the world that our people are engaged in, they make it so that the physical aspect of a relationship is everything, meaning that not money, not maintenance, but the sexuality or the physical relationship of a man and a woman is everything. And that's everything but the truth. So we don't have a spiritual aspect of looking at things in a relationship. Because before we get to the emotional side, the physical side, we have to get to the spiritual side. If I'm with a sister or if a sister is with me and we don't agree, number one, that Allah came in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, then there's no conversation.
Go ahead and say that.
If you don't agree that the most honorable Elijah Muhammad is an exalted Christ and alive in power, then there's no conversation. If we don't agree that the honorable minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine warner, there's no conversation. The minister said that the highest level of conversation is the level of conversation regarding Allah or God. So I'm talking to a sister and we're conversing, and if I'm not maintaining her spiritually, if I'm not feeding her spiritually, if I don't know my lessons, if I don't know the Bible or the Holy Quran, or if I don't know anything about what I say I believe, she ain't going to want nothing to do with me if she's a righteous MGT. See what I'm saying? So we have to maintain the relationship spiritually, and then come the other aspects of it. So, for example, if I'm talking to a sister, and we're conversing on the level of the teachings of the messenger, if I can't break down why I believe that the messenger is alive and power, then I would want her, if she's a righteous MGT, to actually hang up on me and just don't have nothing to do with me. Because we have to be able to defend these teachings. So that should be the number one priority. If the sister is maintained spiritually, and if we both agree on the same thing, if we both can actually back up or build on what we say we believe in, then everything else, rightfully so, will fall into place. But if there's no spiritual aspect of it, then you don't have no relationship. That's why the Christians always want to say God is love. Well, if God is love, and he is love, but at the same time, you could take the O and the V and love and replace it with the I and the F, and then therefore God will be life as well as love. But if there's no God in your relationship, then therefore life cannot generate into your relationship to make your relationship blossom like a beautiful flower. So it just can't happen without God. It can't happen without true love. I'm not talking about no puppy doll love or staring into your eyes or I love you and all that. I mean, that comes along with it, but that's not what true love is. Without Allah in your relationship, without understanding the majesty and the celestial power of Master Farah Muhammad in your relationship, then you don't have no relationship. And rightfully, Allah is not going to be in your relationship. He's going to destroy it. So that's
yes,
my aspect of it, Queen.
Thank you so much. And Student Minister Mustafa, come on, bring us home with that question. How should a man maintain a woman?
Well, first, in my opinion, that woman has to want to be maintained. And I say that because we live in a world where women are maintaining themselves. Women have their own homes or apartments. Women have their own cars. Women are paying their own bills. Women are putting food on their own table. Women are clothing and taking care of their own children, oftentimes without the assistance of any man. So when you've been holding it down 24/7, 365 by yourself, then it becomes a challenge. Are you willing to give up that self-maintenance to allow another brother to come in to become your maintainer? So first, that woman must want to be maintained. But then again, that goes back to the brother, because we have to rise from above, below our belt, into our waist, into the thinking of God and choosing our mate. We don't choose her because of her face. We don't choose her because of her backside or because of other things or superficial. We have to rise into the thinking of God in choosing that woman. So it takes proper courtship to make sure you're choosing a woman who is willing to be maintained, is willing to allow you to be the head in the household. What is a maintainer? Number one, it says, to keep up or carry on, continue. Number two, to keep in existence, state, preserve, or retain. Three, to keep in a condition of good repair or efficiency. So such a man who's a maintainer of a woman, he's her manager. He's her manager in keeping her in the state that Allah has created her in. What is that state? Be a righteous Muslim. So the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us that all women test men. So when you step to her, there's a testing period to see if you're weak, see if you're strong, see if you are bend. And he says if you're able to pass those tests, she will submit to you. Then what do you do? How do you guide her? Do you guide her with a dollar that's falling right now? Do you guide her with sex? As the brother said before me, that we have to guide her mind. We have to guide her in our spiritual development. We have to become the imams in our own house. And we know as an imam, in Islamic language, is a spiritual teacher. Is your wife seeing you waking up at Fajr prayer at 5 a.m. in the morning? Is your wife seeing you praying at noontime? Is your wife seeing you praying as the sun go down? Is your wife seeing when hard times hit you? Are you going seeking refuge in Allah, or are you seeking refuge in submittals? You have to be that which you want others to be. So we maintain her, but we also have to show that example of what we want her to be by being righteous Muslims ourselves. So
yes,
men
sir.
Are
I'll
being
pray
the main.
No, No, go ahead. Go ahead, Brother Mustafa, and complete your thought.
Yes, ma'am. So in this time, we have to make sure that we are first those type of men that will make a woman want to submit by being righteous ourselves, by submitting ourselves totally to Allah, by showing the God within ourselves. Because the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan again teaches us that once she sees the God in you, it will put her heart at rest. It will give her no reason to fight against you unless she's just a rebellious person. But you could have avoided that by proper courtship.
Right.
So we have to rise above our belt, dear brothers, into the thinking of God, make the right choice, and then be the right man for her by following the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the teachings of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And let me say this. May I?
Absolutely.
Myself, if it wasn't for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I never would have known men are the maintainers of women. We grew up in a world where we believe and are taught women are the maintainers of men. Is that right?
Come on.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
That's right. As a young man growing up, well, let me say this. In African or indigenous societies, they have what are called rites of passage programs, where when you become a certain age, the older men of the tribe or the community sit that young man down, and they teach that young man, you were once a boy, now you are a man, this is what men do, these are the responsibilities, these are the duties of a man. But as black men in America, we don't have such a program, rites of passage, to make us those maintainers of women. When I was a young teenage boy becoming 13, my rites of passage was I received a box of condoms. And was told, don't get a woman pregnant. That was my rites of passage. And when you grow up in a society where we're taught, let the woman take care of you, get her money, I did those foolish things. But thanks to Allah and the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, it's reversed it and taught me to want to maintain a woman, to want to uplift a woman, to spiritually elevate a woman, to elevate her mind, to make her the queen of the planet Earth as she helps me elevate into the king of the planet Earth as we both become gods and goddesses. Those are the type of maintainers that we have to become.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Okay, you brothers have some wonderful answers to that question. And I see that you all are coming from the relationship aspect of it, which is absolutely excellent. But what I'm going to do right now, because I don't like to keep my audience waiting too long, I'm going to take these two questions, and then I'm going to come back with a question. So area code 586, do you have a comment or a question for the panel?
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Kareema from Michigan. Assalamu alaikum,
Queen.
Sister Kareema from Michigan.
Okay.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam, ma'am. How are you?
I am blessed, sister. How are you?
I'm doing well, by Allah's mercy. Sister, I wanted to say that I've listened to the brothers, and they all had excellent points. And I have to say, there are a lot of sisters, because I was one of them, that I was holding my own house down, running my own business, raised my son, not by myself because his father was very involved, but no woman wants to be by herself. Even if we only do those things because we have to. You know, I had to take charge of that post at that time. It wasn't by my choice. You know, that's the situation I was put in. But when that brother came along, I was ready to relinquish, you know, that role, because that's not my rightful role. So I think some sisters may be a little bit harder, like nut to crack, to say, but no woman wants to be by herself doing those things.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am, absolutely.
Well, I'm going to say this.
Yes, sir.
To what the sister said, when you say some women are toughening up the crack, you know, it's true, but it's only because our women have been hurt so much.
Yes, sir.
And they want you to earn it. See, with
yes,
my
sir.
Wife now, I'm remarried, you know.
Yes, sir.
And my wife, man, my wife, we courted for 9 months. And my wife put me through hell during that court shit. And we laugh about it now. She knew what she was doing, but she had to earn it. She was, you know, she was holding down her own household, raising
yes,
the children
sir.
By herself. She had a good job, you know what I'm saying? She was doing it for many years by herself. And
yes,
her previous relationship ended in a lot of pain. So before
yes,
she was
going
to give herself to another man the way she gave herself before, she was going to make sure that man was worthy of that. So
yes,
she put me to the test to the point where sometimes I was like, now I'll be driving home on the highway and I'll be, I don't know what's going on, you know what I'm saying? She acted like she wanted to kick it, but damn, she... You know, but I understand now what it was, and because of my captain at the time was also guiding me through it, you know, you have to earn it. See, that role of husband, or if there's children already involved, that role of stepfather, you got to
mm-hmm.
earn. See, when a man first comes around a woman's children, she's very protective. She don't know
oh, yes,
sir. I'm digging you, you know, but I got to know how you're going to react around my child. You know what
yes,
I'm saying?
Sir.
So a lot
yes,
of times when the discipline has to come in and all that, it takes a while for a man to earn that trust
yes,
from
sir.
A woman, for her
yes,
to,
sir,
be able to give herself totally. And I went through that, you know, and by the grace of Allah today, it's different from how it was when we was courting. You know, I am the man in my house, but it wasn't like
yes,
that
sir.
In the beginning. I had to earn that.
Oh, yes,
from
sir, I agree. I agree, and I think, you know, if you would speak to my husband, he would say the same thing because I went through that similar situation in the beginning. So, you know, I was holding close. I didn't want to open up right away. But, you know, I'm thankful
right.
to Allah that I did, and I'm thankful to Allah I went through the proper courtship so that I do have the man that I have now. And can I say one more point, sister?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Okay, yes, ma'am. I don't... think you've gotten to this part yet, but, you know, it's been, like, on my mind a lot, because being on Facebook and things like that, I see the way the sisters dress, and a lot of these sisters are, you know, they have up under their post that they're married, and we're to be covered at all times, you know, in public, except, you know, especially, and, you know, I find that when you want to try to do right, people want to shun you, but those are our laws. We're supposed to be covered. We're not supposed to have a scarf in the middle of our head or, you know, our weave hanging from under our head pieces or the tightest shirt. That form isn't supposed to be there. So I'm thankful to Allah that I had those older sisters when I first came in, like 23 years ago. They weren't playing with me. They just called it out when they saw it. So I'm thankful to Allah, you know, for those sisters. And I remember once asking my husband, man, because I didn't want to cover my hair. I used to like getting my hair done 2 or 3 times a week. And I remember asking, like, because I couldn't figure out how to cover it and still have my hairstyle afterwards. And I remember one day asking him, so what should I cover my hair with? He looked at me and he said, listen, I don't care if you cover it with a garbage bag. Just cover it. I was like, yes, sir. And sister, from that day on, my hair has never been uncovered in public. Never. He said, I don't care what you cover with. You can cover with a garbage bag. And I said, yes, sir. And I covered down because it says that the first self is in order, the second self has no choice but to fall in place. So thank you, sis.
Well, yes,
can I
ma'am.
Say something to that? Can I say something to that? Sister,
absolutely.
Yes,
absolutely.
I come from a family. My mother, I'm the second set of children, my father, and so my mother had all boys. And what the brother was talking about, how the man should earn it, and he should. But one of the things I think part of maintaining the woman too is making her earn it as well. My mother taught us this. Of course, the woman is the prize. She is the prize. She said, but the man is, she said, she taught us that we're the prize too because we're the other half. So we're the prize as well. And so even in part of maintaining her, just like she don't want a weak man, A real man don't want no weak woman, so we supposed to trust her too. And so I'm not in a disrespectful way, but I think that we miss that sometimes in part maintaining it, because I want to know, you know, when the times get rough, like, I know I got her back, then she got mine, and she gonna bail out on me. You know, so we want to be secure too, of course, but I think that the woman has to earn it just as much as the man does. Unless, what good is it?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
She has to earn it too. It ain't just me got to earn it. She got to earn it. She got to earn it just like I do. It ain't just one sided.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay.
That's not a popular opinion. I know sometimes when I say that kind of stuff, I get attacked, but I don't care because I keep it real.
Well, I mean, you know, just to give you some feedback, brother, you know, you're absolutely correct. And, you know, that's just like in anything else, how you start something, you know, you have to be consistent with that. So you have to raise your standards. And if your standards is that your, you know, potential mate or courtship mate or sister or whatever it is to be covered, then you have to hold her to that standard, and you don't back down from that standard. And if she doesn't meet the requirement, then of course, you know, you just move on.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Easy. May I add something on that, Queen?
Absolutely.
In response to what the sister said, how the so-called believers will frown upon her whenever she wants to do right. Sister, I want to say that I bear witness to that 100%. See, I'm going to try my best to keep my cool, because I don't want to get angry, but it might come out.
No, just go ahead and be yourself. We're used to that by now.
Yes, ma'am. But you see, it literally just pisses me off beyond the level of pissivity, because of the fact that we up here on these social websites, and we act as if all of a sudden that we should behave other than ourselves. And yet,
mm-hmm.
at the mosque, it's assalamu alaikum this, assalamu alaikum that.
Right, right.
You know what? That is called a hypocrite, plain and simple. I'll be damned if you're going to sit there and question me on what I believe in and my faith, because I want to do right, and you have the you have the yearning of the 85% now to come and act as if you want to talk righteous, as if you are the 5%, but then you want to behave online as if you don't know no damn better. Look, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad did not make no mistakes when he gave us the restricted law. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad did not make no mistakes when he gave the sisters the dress code and he gave us the proper conduct and the handling of people. He did not make no mistake. He was a masterful teacher. He was not a damn fool. So for anybody to go on Facebook and to try to slander and make your brother or sister feel bad because of the fact they want to live right, my question is, who the hell are you working for? Because that right there shows me that you are not my brother or sister in the faith or by nature. You are my natural born enemy. You deserve to have your head chopped off. It's just that damn clear. I refuse to have someone who claims to be my brother or my sister look down on me because I want to live my life right. But in the same light, you got the nerve to try to mount the rostrum at the mosque? Absolutely not. You are not worthy. You are less than a common dog to sit there to try to down a sister or a brother who wants to live right because you haven't mastered your damn urges, because you haven't mastered your lower desires of self, and yet you claim to be a god and you claim to be a FOY. You ain't worth a damn. Plain and simple.
Woo!
Just that simple, Mother Black Man.
Oh my God! Okay, let me let my little brother get some water. Brother Jahar, go get you some water. We gonna be right here. Okay, we gonna take another question. Area code 614. Your mic is live.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters.
Walaikum salam, sir.
This is your brother and comrade in the struggle. I'm not a registered Muslim within the nation. My practice is that of Sunni. However, this has been a very, very interesting dialogue in terms of relationships. My name is Brother Greg G2 Gibson. I am out of Columbus, Ohio. I am the national chairman for the Black Panther Party Power Movement up under Walaikum Salaam, Sister Aziza. I'm up under the guidance of the Honorable David Hilliard, who was the former chief of staff of the original Black Panther Party, October 1966. We were established, the Black Panther Party Power Movement was established September 9th of 2007. I'm good friends with Minister Donnell Muhammad of Muhammad's Mosque number 43, and I practically grew up with Muhammad Mosque number 43's captain, Brother Robert Muhammad, here in Columbus, Ohio. In terms of the topic of discussion, I had some questions, but those questions have been clearly answered by Brother Minister Mustafa Abdul Muhammad, as well as the Brother Jihad Ali, who comes forth with the spirit of Omar, I see, out of the Holy Quran.
Praise be to Allah.
Alhamdulillah, all praise due to Allah. I really love the no-nonsense brother, because I needed to hear that. Now, I know what to do to go back and talk with my national central committee here in Columbus, as well as my regional central committees throughout the nation. We have 12 chapters throughout the United States, from Seattle all the way to Brooklyn, New York. When I get questions, I will know in layman's terms how to bring it to them. And I am really, really, I was a former member, I must say, Muhammad's Mosque number 43 back in 1990-91. But I still had a lot of nigger in me, so I kind of fell off. However, you all have really encouraged me to crack open, blow off the dust, and get back into reading the message to the black man.
Praise be to Allah.
Yes, mashallah, alhamdulillah, all praise due to Allah, because it's really going to help me, I see, and what I desire in seeking a wife. I've been married once before, been divorced since 2012. Now, I actually had a second marriage, but that really don't count, because I was married to an African woman in terms of helping her getting her green card. So that's really more like a business deal. That was just me being a nigga and trying to get some money. So that's not even really, that doesn't even really count like a marriage. So in my I'm just keeping it real, sister. In my third try of really seeking a helpmeet, a goddess, an empress, a queen up under the steed of Allah, I just want to comment more than question. All four of you all have really helped this Black Panther leader, Brother Greg G2 Gibson, open up his mind and his heart back into seeking guidance from Allah. And I must say, as a person coming from a Sunni perspective, I think I need to just go on back up under the steed of the Nation of Islam, because in
praise
my
be to Allah, yes you do.
Yes, ma'am. Alhamdulillah.
In my opinion.
Because I've only been a Sunni Muslim maybe about a year, and I really haven't been on my mustaqim, so to speak, on that. And it's really had to do with relationships. It does, not only just in terms of dealing with male-female relationships, but the kind of folk I've been around. And in terms of success, they say that it is maybe 10 to 20% of what you do personally, and 80 to 90% of the folk that you're around. And I've even found myself in a masjid getting into arguments with other Muslims, trying to say this and that and the third about Farrakhan, even though I've been far removed from Muhammad Mosque. I'm still defending Farrakhan. So maybe Allah, as you say, in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, is telling me, go on back to the nation, brother.
Praise be to Allah.
And get away from these, as Brother Jihad Ali put it. Get away from these hypocrites. And get away from the hypocrite within me. You know, because
yes,
the same brothers that are wearing the long Arabic or Aramaic dress styles in the street, the same brothers I've seen in clubs.
Oh,
I said,
man.
Brother, you smoking and drinking, and then you trying to tell me this, that, and the third. And then you, on top of that, you're trying to slander Farrakhan, and I'm about to get in a fight with somebody over Farrakhan, and I ain't even in the mosque. So I just want to thank everybody. I really had a good, intense cleansing.
Yeah.
So this has been like a spiritual and emotional fast, just listening to you all about relationships.
Stick around because there's more to come,
yeah.
And I just want you to know that the doors and the arms are always open to you to just come on back home.
May I
thank you so much,
speak to the
well
brother?
Appreciate. Yes, please.
Assalamu alaikum, dear brother.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Dear brother, I would strongly encourage you to follow your heart intention as far as reintegrating back into the Nation of Islam. But in understanding the Nation of Islam is not a building. It's not a mosque or study group here and there. The Nation of Islam is the entire 196,940,000 square miles of the planet Earth.
Sure,
and
right.
The 17 years of me being in Islam, the first 3 years of my walk was in what is considered Sunni Islam. But in understanding the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, salallahu alayhi wa sallam, that his sunnah, oftentimes the Muslim world, we follow the superficial or the easy parts of his sunnah. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said that the greatest jihad is to speak truth in the presence of an unjust ruler. Let's follow that sunnah. Let's follow that sunnah right there.
I know that's
Prophet
right.
Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, if you see a wrong, then you must first stop it with your hands. And if you're too weak to do that, then speak out against it. And if you're too weak to do that, then hate it in your heart. But that's the weakest of faith. So the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is, I would have to say, using that criteria, is the best follower of the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, on the planet, because he's the only one who's speaking truth to an unjust ruler. He's the only one
right.
who's trying to stop, speak out, and hate the evil that's going on in the world. And Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said that 3 generations after me would no longer be of me. And we see that manifested in this falling down Islamic world. We see brothers and sisters falling, following that falling down world, and they have no strength, no power, no ability to change their life because they're following a watered down, falling down Islam. The Nation of Islam, we have that strength and power, dear brother. You know that. So, brother, I would love to see you pick up that message to the black man and reintegrate back into this great community of believers and help this great man, Ms. Louis Farrakhan, in the West.
If I may interject,
no doubt about it, my brother. And I just want to let you know quickly, the Black Panther Party power movement has signed up. Under the last sign, myself and some of the other members were at Muhammad Mosque 43. We signed up under the defense team for defending Farrakhan. So we are a grassroots black political organization that defends the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Just wanted to let that be known.
If I may interject, family. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay, thank you, Brother Greg, for calling in. Okay, go ahead with your comment, whoever is speaking, because we got a couple
13.
More questions.
It's
yeah, go
13.
Ahead, Brother.
I want to interject to what the brother was saying right quick. You know, I personally don't believe in being far removed. I don't believe in when a person says, I used to be, it's either you are or you never was. Now, with you, dear brother, being that you, even after you left the mosque, you went along with the Black Panther Party to do what they're trying to do, which is the same movement, liberating our people. You in the masjid getting ready to fight other Sunnis because they're slandering Minister Farrakhan. See, your spirit and your heart never left. Now, you mm-hmm. say you left because you had too much nigga in you. Brother, that's all of us. Brother, Master Farouk Muhammad didn't come to us because we so holy. Man, ain't
yes,
man
sir.
One of us holy, but I say I start with myself. You feel me?
Sure.
You are not alone. You feel me? And when you see Muslims walking around like they're holy, trust me, they not. All you got to do is be a fly on the wall. So don't let that stop you from your growth, because every time you leave, you abort your growth, and you have to start all over. But the longer you stay, the longer Allah will polish you, and the more nigger will be removed out of you. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
So I didn't have to say that because, I was hearing the language, and I was just letting him know that, brother, no, you are not far removed. No, you weren't used to be. You still are. You just like Jonah running from Nineveh. And now you're going through what you're going through, and it's Allah, like you said yourself, showing you that, look, I'm not going to leave you alone until you go to Nineveh, Jonah, and take up this mission that you are running from. You understand, Big
Brother?
Yes, sir. Brother?
We got some more questions, and then we're going to get back to our topic, because I don't want us to get off a topic. But we're going to bring in Student Minister James Muhammad from Tampa, Florida. Assalamu alaikum, sir. Brother James, are you there? Brother James? Okay, maybe he put us on hold, okay? Brother Kareem.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you,
Salam.
Yes. I just want to first and foremost say in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, who came in the person of Master Farouk Muhammad. And I know the time is moving, so I'm going to keep rolling too. First of all, I want to say that you all are doing a magnificent, magnificent, magnificent job. And I want to say this in response to what Brother Jihad said. I understand, and the bottom line is we got to stay away from, dare I say, the niggas in the mosque and all these reality TV show Hollywood Muslims. I'm going to leave that alone. Now,
yes,
according to...
Don't leave it alone, brother.
I want to stay on the subject at hand, which is men are the maintainers of women. And according to Webster, he does a decent job. It says to maintain means, and the definition we're looking for, it says to sustain against opposition or danger, uphold and defend, to continue or persevere. Now, Allah states in the Holy Quran, Sharif, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. It says, and this is in Surah 4, Ayah 34, men are the maintainers of women, with what Allah has made some of them to excel others, and with what they spend out of their wealth. So the good women are obedient, guarding the unseen as Allah has guarded. And as to those on whose part you fear desertion, it says, admonish them and leave them alone in the beds and chastise them. So if they obey you, speak not away against them. Surely Allah is ever exalted and great. Surely Allah speaks the truth. And that being the case, the statement of Allah here in Quran clearly tells us, when it says men are the maintainers of women, notice what he says. It says, with what Allah has made some of them to excel others. And that means, in my view, I would say it that way, is that
since I am the maintainer of the woman with what Allah has given me, and in some areas I excel, yes, I must maintain the woman on all levels. Yes, he just told us in that ayah, yes, she also got to earn her place too. Because what it describes as desertion is if she fails to back you up. She don't do her part. So if we are to maintain really one another, that's why we have an FOI class. That's why we have an MGTGCC class. And as long as we, as followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, under the guidance and leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, first and foremost, observe those teachings, and especially the restrictive law, and practice it unadulterated. See, we can't have FOI macho, okay, with chauvinism, as they call it in. We can't have MGT with feminism in it. Just don't work. Just don't work. We have to submit, as it tells us constantly in the lessons, 100%. That means anytime I find myself in difficulty in the relationship, and yes, I have been in relationships, and I say this all the time. Yeah, I hear individuals talking about, well, I've been married, well, 3 times, 4 times, 5 times. Excuse my language, you a damn lie. You were in a relationship that failed, because marriages do not fail. A marriage is the prime example of the joining of the individual with Allah himself. That's why we are given so many examples in Scripture, particularly in the Bible, of the bride and the bridegroom and how that represents God and him coming. For example, the example of the 10 virgins. 5 was ready, 5 wasn't. They got left out in the cold. So when we're in a marriage, when we're in a marriage, because that's when you maintain, when we're in a marriage, it does not fail. A prime example of that is the marriage between the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Sister Clara Muhammad. I won't go any further with that. However, right in our face, right now, the marriage between the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the First Lady Khadija Farrakhan. See, marriages do not fail. We may give it a good attempt. So if, again, I'm going to end on this. If we are maintaining one another. Yes, men are the maintainers of women. However, as my brother said earlier, it's a two-way street. So if I am maintaining her financially, if I am making sure that she is fed spiritually, but she also got to feed that back to me. There's got to be a balance there. So if I'm men are the maintainers of women, the first thing I must do to be on that post is maintain my relationship 100% with Almighty God Allah. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. Thank you, Brother Kareem. And I think Student Minister James Muhammad, are you with us, sir?
Yes, ma'am. I hope so. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We can hear you now.
Oh, praise be to Allah. You got my text, did you not? I didn't, sir. I don't want to say what happened. I may appear senile to the audience.
He pressed the wrong button on the phone.
You see, I knew
he got a new phone and he don't know what to do with it. But that's okay. We love you anyway.
All right, Sister Queen, I'm going to get you for that. But always in the name of Allah, with the help and assistance of Allah, we bear witness that there is no God but He, and we thank Him always for making His presence known in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, the great Mahdi, and raising up His Messiah, the exalted Christ, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, through whom we have been given the wonderful example of the quality of a human being. He is deliverer, He is reformer, He is warner, and He is redeemer. The man of whom I speak is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I must always invoke the names of these men, for without them I would have nothing whatsoever to share in the way of common sense or wisdom. I want to greet all of you again. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum
salam.
Wa
alaykum salam.
Yes. I want to just say, Brother Kareem was saying, marriages don't fail. And I understand that where he's coming from. You know, marriage is not the recitation of vows in the presence of witnesses under some ceremonial conditions. Marriage actually is a process, so teaches the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And it is a process of becoming one, not just with your mate, but becoming one with Almighty God, Allah. The reason why Allah says that marriage is half of our faith, and in some interpretations, the completion of our faith, because in reality, it's the journey and the process of becoming one with the God. And when I say one with the God, it means meeting with the mind of God, totally surrendering to Almighty God Allah. So his mind is your mind, and your mind is his mind. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has taught us that marriage is the process of the God. It's a taste, or rather what you would call a microcosmic example. It's a microcosm example of the process by which Almighty God Allah came into being, brought himself into being. And so therefore, that process is ordained for men because of the natural way Allah created us to gravitate towards the woman and she to us, but it's also the process by which we become not just a reflection of him, but a manifestation of him and a reproduction of him. And this is why Allah hates divorce, because divorce is the abortion of the process. And Allah knows that if you abort the process of marriage, which is a small example of the process by which we become one with him, he already knows you're not going to make it in the process of meeting with the mind of him. But out of his mercy, he allows us to make mistakes, to fall, and if he spares our life, to get back up again and go and get back on the journey. So I understand, Brother Kareem, when you say marriages don't fail. The word marriage in Arabic is nikah, and it actually means the uniting, the joining, becoming one, not just with your mate, but becoming one with Almighty God. It's the joining of two natures that have the same essence. So let me say this with my wife on a personal note. Allah knows, and she with me. Allah knows that our process is not perfect. But the one thing that I believe has caused us, helped us to overcome challenges that might have otherwise threatened the process, is that from the very beginning we committed that no matter what, short of becoming hypocrites to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in the Nation of Islam, other than that, anything other than that, no matter what, divorce was not on the table. We made that vow at the beginning. And by the grace of Allah, by the mercy of Allah, we have kept it for 31 years. Inshallah, in September, we will celebrate our 31st anniversary.
All praises due to Allah.
Not because we are perfect in our relating one to the other. I certainly am not. necessarily exemplary in that as a manifestation of that verse, men are the maintainers of women. But if we believe in Allah and if we obey Allah, then when we get into the process, no matter what happens, we stay in the process, not for the sake of our wives, nor for the sake of our husbands, but for the sake of being obedient to Almighty God Allah. The scripture says, O mankind, reverence your guardian Lord, who created you from a single essence, and from them twain many men and women. So reverence the womb that bore you and the ties of relationship. Reverence Allah, and this part is the glue. This part is the concretizing, strengthening aspect. Reverence Allah, by whom you demand one of another your right. So it's not by my desires that I make demands on my wife. It is not by her desires she makes demands on me. It is by Allah that we make our demands according to our natural rights one to the other. And as long as we keep Allah first and foremost in our mind, first and foremost as our objective to meet with him, to become one with him, then we may fall, but we will not abort the journey. And I pray that Allah's mercy will extend to us until, inshallah, we meet with him. And I would advise you, brothers and sisters, don't get into marriage with a kind of escape hatch mentality. That is to say, you've already predisposed and to make conditions for which you'll abort the process, you'll abort the marriage. Be unconditional. And if you're going to make conditions, make the condition only is that one of you falls into disbelief or hypocrisy. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's my advice. And that's what I'd like to say. Thank you, Queen.
And thank you, Student Minister James.
And Brother Kareem.
And I'm so glad you were able to manage your phone.
Yeah, you know.
Your new toy.
You know, I'm gonna get you for that, sis. But you know, I'm not gonna put that on blast like you put me on blast. That's all right.
That's all right. It's all love.
I love you, though.
Praises due to Allah. Likewise, dear brother. Now, we're at the second hour, and Brother James, don't you go nowhere. Now, I went around the table. I heard from Brother Ivan, and Brother Ivan, I wanted to tell you, that's your phone making all that noise. So I don't know if you working still or you moving around, but come back to us now, because I found out that was your phone. But what I found interesting, I asked a question. I asked one question. I said, how should a man maintain a woman? And all of you all refer to a personal relationship, marriage or courtship or intended marriage or whatever it was. But this is what the show is really about. The show is really about the men maintaining the women. And Brother Jihad, this stems from a conversation that you and I had, because what is really going on is that, you know, there's a rumor going around that the population of women far exceed the population of men, and, you know, men just have such a wide variety of women to choose from, blah, 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 blah. Okay, whatever, fine. But as I talk to women all across the country, as I make my observations through various black communities, and particularly someone stated earlier about how a woman had been holding it down by herself for so long that it's hard for her to allow a man to come in and take that position. However, we already know that the statistics are that 75% of the households in Black America are being headed by single women.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not even so much of allowing a man to come in and consume that role, but the men don't seem to be marrying the women. So in the meantime and in between time, brothers, what about the single women? What about the orphan children? And when we talk about the maintaining of women, that men in the community are the maintainers of the women in the community. So I'm not, mm-hmm. and don't nobody get this twisted. I'm not talking about being no gigolo.
I'm not talking about polygamy
or anything like that. I'm not talking about that. But I'm saying that a lot of times, like for instance myself, I use myself as an example. I have been unmarried for 10 years. Now, who would maintain a woman like me? Who would maintain my small children or my teenage children if I have been absent without a male figure in my household? Not to have an intimate relationship, but for the men to take on the role of Wali, the protecting friend of sisters. And we become so fickle in our communication, and we so caught up in our lower desires that it appears as though, and I know for certain it's not true because I have a wonderful relationship with the brotherhood across the nation and the Nation of Islam, and I know with a surety that you can have a relationship with your brother, and it's brotherly and it's sisterly. So it's not to say that if a sister is in need, and I'm just going to say car repair, house repair, she needs someone to mentor to her son. She, you know, you probably have another interest somewhere else. But these are the sisters that become most vulnerable. These are the sisters that you talk about on Facebook when you say, well, I see that sister, she don't have her hair covered. You know, I see that sister, she's not dressed appropriately, and she becomes vulnerable in that loneliness because maybe she has not yet learned to allow Allah to be sufficient for her. And if there's no one in her house who has the authority over her, sometimes just knowing the rule, knowing the protocol, knowing the restrictive laws is not enough. So the men in the community have to take the responsibility in the name of brotherhood and say, sister, with all due respect, cover yourself. Mm-hmm. Sister, with all due respect, do you mind if I speak to your son? Because I saw him somewhere he didn't have anywhere, any business being, you know, at a particular time of night. You know, sister, you know, when the last time you had your oil changed? Is there something need to be fixed at your house or whatever? Because if she has been doing that for a long period of time and she has had no one to maintain her, and I'm talking about in a very general sense. So it's a slap in the face for a brother to say, oh, well, the sister don't want to be maintained. Well, sister don't want to be maintained. She independent. You know, this white man didn't turn her out. Well, how did that happen?
Mm-hmm.
How did he get a hold of her? Because y'all stepped aside. And I'm not naming, shaming, and blaming, but I'm saying is that at some point, even if the sisters are not getting married, there still needs to be that protecting Wali in the Black community for the Black woman. And before I move on to my next comment, somewhat question, I'm going to go to Brother Problem 13 and ask his opinion about what I just said.
Lord, why you got to come to P13 first?
Because you know only
went,
Problem 13, you
know,
have a solution. That's why.
But I got to say this, man. I'm happy to see that,
Wait a minute, Brother Prime, your phone is breaking up. Hold on. Can you move around a little bit?
You hear me now? I'm still in the same spot. You hear me now?
Not really clear.
I'm in the same spot. I haven't moved.
Okay, you sound good right now.
Okay. Well, first of all, I want to say that I really like the heavy representation of the 7th region on this panel. You got the 7th, you got Pensacola in the building, you got Brother James in the building, 7th region is really representing up in here. Praise be to Allah.
Yes, sir.
But, sister, I really don't have any light to shed on what you just said, because, see, when I first joined Facebook, I was like that. You know what? And initially, only reason I'm in the social network is to promote my music. That's the only reason I'm in the social network. But when I first got on Facebook and I saw things that I felt needed correction, I would, you know, step in very humbly and try to give a word of advice. And I'd get my head chewed on. You know, I was like, wow, you know? And that's when I made up my mind, well, I have my wife and my daughters that I have to deal with. I'm not going to add on all this. You know, sister, you know the minister said, and I would come with the minister. You know, the minister said, quote, unquote, that no sister should be on Facebook with a profile picture with her head showing. This is what the minister said. As an MGT, you know, as an FOI, I'm asking you as an NGC, if you would please, you know, you have Muhammad next to your name or you have an X next to your name, you know, let's be mindful of who we are in here and who's watching us. Oh, man, why I did that? Sister, send me an inbox, Lord have mercy. And it's only because it was an NGC that I, you know, didn't respond. Because if it would have been another FOI talking to me like that, we would have to meet somewhere. You know, and that's when I learned that, look, man, you know, I think Brother Jihad sent me an inbox a long time ago. I'm not sure if it was you, Brother Jihad, but clarify if it was. You asked, the brother that sent the inbox, I believe it was you, asked me about sisters, you know, marrying or flirting or whatever with brothers on Facebook that are not FOI.
Oh, hell yeah, that was me.
Yeah, and I said, man, leave that alone. That's a grown woman. You don't want to, look, she, let her in a law deal with that. She knows she wrong. You know, but we as men, as FOI, we need to step up to the plate so that the lost found brother doesn't even look desirable to the NGT.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but what you I was really teach. Doing when I sent, when I, but what I was really doing when I sent him that reply was, I was keeping him safe. Brother, don't get involved with these women and they, hey, look, man. See, because if a woman first hasn't submitted to a law, she ain't going to submit to you. And if she's on Facebook not wearing a head cover and she says she an NGT, well, that's a sign to me that she hasn't totally submitted to a law. So who am I to tell her anything? If she hasn't submitted to the God, she surely ain't going to submit to me or nobody on Facebook. You feel me? So I understand what you're saying, Bridget. But when you put it into realistic, then that's when you find out that, look, man, you need to lead, look. You need to just worry about yourself if you're married. Worry about maintaining your wife if you got daughters. Worry about your daughters, because these women out here get you killed. You know, you mess around and you say the wrong thing. You say the wrong thing to a sister, you get 90 days out for conduct unbecoming of a Muslim. And all you was trying to do was remind her of her deen. You understand?
Yes, sir.
So it's a very slippery slope. It's a very slippery slope. And I learned that early on Facebook, and I told myself, "Why? What the hell are you doing? You aren't supposed to try to promote your music. So you promote your music, and you let Allah you know, with those sisters that, you know, just like these FOI, there's FOI on Facebook. You can't just talk about the sisters. You got FOI on Facebook with booty pictures on
come
their profile. You know what I'm saying? And now these brothers I get with. You know, I had to tell the brother straight up. Don't you, your brother was in the 7th region. I said, man, don't make me send brothers to your house. I know where you live. Take this pic down now. Because you got the name Muhammad. Now, if you want to have that pic up there, you need to put the slave name up there. Don't put
damn
the name
right.
Muhammad, and then you got these booty sisters. My wife tells me all the time, you know, I see brothers on there. I just shrug my shoulders. I said, well, baby, go to my profile. You don't see that there. You know what I'm saying? So it ain't just the sisters off the chain on Facebook. The brothers off the chain, too.
Hell
I mean,
yeah.
I'm talking. I leave the sisters alone, but I stay on. I see a brother with an ex or Muhammad doing the wrong thing. I let him know, hey, this is problem 13. I'm from Muhammad's mom's number 29. And if you, and I send this in the inbox. If you don't take that pic down, bro, I'm going to start investigating who you are and what you're doing up in here. Because you're not properly representing the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. You ain't going to be up in here like that. See, you can do that with the brothers, but with the sisters, you do that, man, you get 90 days out. Kinda gonna be coming. She done report. She done caught Chicago on you. Looking at Brother Captain like all I was trying to do was remind the sister of a deed. No, man, I got my wife and my daughter. And, you know, until we can all get on the stage of our level of submission, that's a very slippery slope, sister.
Well, I agree with you, Brother Alexander. However, you know, that is, but the Quran says that men are the maintainers of women. He didn't say only when the slope is not slippery. He said men are the maintainers of women. But I got you. I feel you. I understand what you're saying. When you get that backlash from a sister and the neck roll and the eyes rolling, I feel you on that.
See, I don't even get
but there's a subtle way.
You know, my wife
well, there's
my
a subtle way to approach it. That's all I'm
so
saying
like,
to you.
Go ahead.
I was just saying there's a subtle way as a brother that you can approach her. You know, let her know that out of your care, out of your concern, and you're just reminding her of the standard. Now, whether she rebels or not, it's up to her. But I think, and it's just my personal opinion, I think that if the sisters knew that the brothers really care for them, and the brothers are not inboxing them and saying, Sister so-and-so, you sure look pretty in that dress. Sister so-and-so, your hair sure is pretty. If you're complimenting them, you are encouraging the negative behavior. Instead, just say, sister, you know, you're a beautiful sister. I want to remind you that the law says that you need to cover.
Yes,
and if she rebels, she rebels. It's not.
Yes,
it's not. You don't have to argue with her. You just tell her what the law is. Now, either she gonna accept it or reject it. But as a brother, you've done your duty. And if she got 10 or 15 brothers coming at her like that, one or two things are going to happen. She's going to tell them to kiss her behind, or either she's going to cover up, because she's going to be constantly reminded that this is what she needs to
do.
And that there are brothers out there that care about her.
Yes, ma'am. And that's one thing I do when I see a sister that has had a profile pic with her hair uncovered and she changes it, and I noticed the change that now she has a pic with her head covered, I immediately let her know. You know what I'm saying? You know, I like a new profile pic. You know what I'm saying? Beautiful profile pic. And I let her know this is what's preferred. So I do that. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
If I notice it, then I let them know quick. The picture with your head covered, that's on point. That's a tight pic. I like that pic.
Okay. Now we're almost running out of time, so I want to get to Brother Ivan, and then we still got Brother Jihad and Brother Mustafa to get to. So Brother Ivan, what is your opinion about my comment?
Okay, could you say the comment again so I can make sure that I'm answering correctly?
Okay, I want. I said initially, everybody talked about personal relationships when it came to men maintaining women. But what about the single women, and what about the children who you might as well classify as orphans who do not have fathers in the community? Who is responsible for the maintenance of a single woman on a general level?
Well, you know, of course, the obvious answer is the responsible, respectable men. That is the duty of the FOI. You know, we can talk about the other men, of course, but the duty of the FOI, we have specific instructions from our commander-in-chief to always, you know, the general owner says, take charge of this post and all temple property in view. Well, what is our post? Our 196,940,000 square miles belongs to the black man. And so wherever our women are, no matter who she's with and where she's with, you know, even when you see a sister with a Caucasian male, she's still the black man's responsibility, even when she's with him. Because regardless to whether she's with him or not, we know and understand about our black woman what he knows not. So even though she's taking, he's responsible for her per se, we're still responsible for those single black women. You talked about those of us. We have sisters here in our city that have not necessarily joined the Nation of Islam, but they're willing to turn their young boys over to us. When we went out last year, there was a sister that had six boys between the ages 12 and 4. Wow. And she saw us out. We were, you know, in the on the projects, you know, talking to the people, and we were driven. The sister ran from where she was at and said, "Well, how much does it cost for me to bring my sons to you? What do I have to do?" The sister asked, you know, she said, "I don't care what it costs, and I don't care where y'all at. I need to give my boys to y'all," just like that.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so, because of that, it is our responsibility to help those sisters, like you said, not trying to get with them and, you know, woo them, and then all of a sudden we're going for the kills, if you will, but to actually be a real assistance. And then, if it is the will of Allah, we bring that sister to the mosque and hand over to the sisters and leave her alone.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? If that happens like that, but we're not to tamper and play with the sisters just because we have so much you would call access to her, because we do have access to the sisters more than some of us even realize.
Yes, sir.
But we are to be respectable men, and like you said, we are to maintain the women on those levels too, not just in an interpersonal relationship, but as a society and in the community. That's our job, to do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Brother Student Minister Mustafa?
Yes, ma'am. Just co-signing on with everything that's been said before. A year ago at our mosque here in Pensacola, we had a sister who came in, was starting the process, was loving the teaching, but she had a son who was out of control for various reasons. And what I did personally is I told her, let me take him under my wing. Let me adopt him, in a sense, to be my little brother. And what I did with this brother, I took this brother, I built his self-esteem up. His self-esteem was lower than a maggot in a trash can. I built him up to be proud, to hold his head up. I put the brother from sagging his pants to teaching him how to wear a suit and a tie. I took the brother out into the streets and showed him how to take legitimate products and sell those products, and the brother was coming home with money every day. I told him, I can't make you a millionaire, but I can guarantee you'll come home with something in your pocket more than you left when you started. And we built this brother up, taught him other things, how to speak correctly, how to do things that makes a man. That was my duty, though this was not my son or my blood brother, or this was not my blood sister, but men are the maintainers of women. And even deeper than that, we're asked the question, what is the duty of a civilized person? and that duty of that civilized person is to teach. So if I see a sister in the community when I'm out and she's acting other than herself, my duty as a civilized person is to gently and lovingly correct her or to point her in the direction of where she can be corrected, which is the MGT class, and let her sister deal with her. So I definitely love the way you expanded it from not from an interpersonal relationship to really understanding this whole community of women is our responsibility.
That's right.
All the outrageousness we're seeing, we can complain about it, but that's our responsibility as civilized men. The women, the children, the situation, those are our responsibility. Now, the Facebook thing, I don't touch that. I've tried it before, and it's Brother Problem 13. I bear witness. I've been cussed out, fussed out, and everything else. I left that alone. May Allah bless you, sister.
In real life, when you deal with an issue, see, I'm in the hood. I live in the hood. So I deal with issues all the time. On my block, they know me as Muhammad. So it's different when you're dealing with a person face-to-face, and they can see your sincerity, they can see your love, and that you really care for them. But on Facebook, they don't see nothing but letters typed in. So you know, it's a whole different world from being out in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can tell something face-to-face, and she may listen. You may tell a young brother something face-to-face, and he may listen. But on Facebook, or you starting a war. Nigga, who is you?
Mm-hmm.
That's how they respond.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so, yeah, Facebook is a different monster from the real world, definitely.
Right, and what I'm saying about social media is that if every FOI who is on Facebook, for instance, would issue a point of correction or would hold one another as well as the sisterhood to the standard and be that constant reminder, then I'm telling you, you will get a different reaction. Because when one brother come at her, she might feel like, who is he? He ain't gonna been telling me nothing. Then another brother, then another brother, then a sister, then another brother, then another brother. She's going to pay attention. She's going to feel as though something is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And if she got all of these people telling her the same exact thing, she's bound to change the direction in which she's going. But she needs that constant encouragement. That is maintaining the women.
Right.
Because
we
if you have to look
Facebook.
At if she's influenced by television, if she goes out into the workplace and all of her coworkers are walking around with short skirts and, you know, high heel shoes and a ton of makeup and hair all over the place, she's bound to be influenced by that. And so the men have to maintain the standard of the law, and you have to implement that law with the women in the community. That's just plain and simple.
Indeed. And we also as men, FOI, who follow or claim to follow the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, we also have to be acting correctly on Facebook. You know what I'm saying? We can't
damn,
be inboxing these sisters. You know, we inboxing sisters. That ain't the proper court shit, brother. You find out where the sister was sitting from, and then you tell your brother Captain to holler at, to talk to her sister, Captain. You don't inbox your sister and how you doing and were you looking good today and how was your day? See, it's that
come
kind
on,
of activity that makes the sisters respond when we do try to, when a good brother comes and tries to correct
that's
us
right.
out of sincerity. It's these other brothers
on,
that's
Brandon.
On Facebook clowning and not living up to that Muhammad or that X that they put on Facebook, and it's them that's messing it up for the ones who really are trying to represent properly. So we're blanketing.
Right.
It's looked upon like all FOI on Facebook doing something when it's just y'all few that need to stop. And I tell every sister on my friend list, if any FOI ever inbox you, you holler at me quick. You let me know quick if any FOI inbox you. Because I don't inbox you. You feel me? And in order for what you're saying, Sister Gizzy, to come to pass, the men must stand up and be men. We must not use Facebook to be dogs because the restrictive law doesn't allow us to be fake to be dogs in real life. We must carry that into practice on the social network. But because you're faceless, you're behind a computer, then you know who's to regulate. you know?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, let's get Brother Jahad's opinion. And everybody hold on to your seats. Okay, come on, little bro.
Well, I would first like to say that I made a post not too long ago. In fact, I think it was just the other day after me and you had that conversation, Sister Aziz, and I thought about what you said. I was like, yeah, sister got a point. FOI, I'm not going to say as well, yeah, I'm going to say it. We dropped the ball when it comes to our sisters. There should not be a reason, there should not be an excuse for why lost founds and backstabbing slanderers of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to even have the testicular fortitude to even think about approaching our women. They should not have.
Okay, wait a minute, Brother Jahad. Okay, if somebody has their computer on or some background noise, please mute your phone because it's interfering. We want to be able to hear clearly. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Brother Jahad.
Yes, ma'am. They should not have the thought to even do such a thing. In fact, they should have the fear in their hearts. And they go, oh, that's Farrakhan women? We ain't going to mess with them. We ain't talking to them. We ain't going to touch them. But you see, for some reason, they feel like they have, they can do better than us. In fact, that's the thinking. Oh, well, you a Farrakhan them? Hey, she, come on over here, you know, with Silas. Come over here with Royale. Come over here with Marvin, you know what I'm saying? This, we'll treat you like a real queen. Forget them Farrakhan niggas. And their sisters really buy into that nonsense. But you see, the question is why they buy into it, because we dropped the ball. It's just
that's
pure
right,
and simple.
That's right.
It's just real pure and simple. So the fact of the matter is that we have to step it up. And this is my thing. If I see a sister online with her hair uncovered, I seen this one picture, pissed me off to hell. It was a sister, two sisters, two MGT, last name Muhammad, Islamic names or whatever. They had, their hair was uncovered, and they were holding up Cristal or liquor. And above them was a star, picture of the Star and Crescent. I'm like, what ain't this about her? I said, damn. I hit that sister up immediately. This is my thing. I don't give a damn if you cuss me out. Block me, report me, do what you want to do. The fact of the matter is, if you got that, there are brothers and sisters who don't have a name, Muhammad or Ali, and they actually are worthy of those names, but you are misrepresenting their names. Were you coming up here with the holding a bottle of Cristal up, or you posting up cooning and buffooning videos of Nicki Minaj and all type of buffoonery? Just cooning and buffooning on Facebook 24/7 in the name of Muhammad, in the name of Farrakhan. I'm like, ain't this is crazy.
Yeah.
And you have
yeah.
so-called FOI doing the same thing, posting up twerk
that's
videos.
Right.
I said, ain't this a
right.
Man, look, I said, hell no. I hit them up immediately, and I cut their asses apart. Report me to Chicago, damn it. I don't give a skip what you do, but you ain't going to be misrepresenting Muhammad or Farrakhan in the name of Farrakhan, and you putting all this crap on online. And if we at war with this enemy, do you know what time, do they even know what time this is? Absolutely not. That's unacceptable, 100%. I had a sister cuss me out all the hell. She's like, nigga, who you think you is? This is my Facebook page. I do what the hell I want to do. I said, you can do what the hell you want to do with your damn slave name, but you ain't be misrepresenting Muhammad. I don't give a skip. She blocked me, of course, but I don't care. I got her city, and I definitely going to call her a captain. Best believe that, if she's even registered. If she's even registered. So straight up. I mean, there's just no excuse for that whatsoever. And then sisters is running to these hypocrites. I'm like, damn, these Negroes don't care about you because they don't care about the minister. He can't love you and you under the minister's guidance, and he gonna slander the minister in the same breath. That don't make no sense whatsoever. So we have to just do what we gotta do. That's just my spirit. I understand what you were saying, Brother Problem 13. Sometimes I'd be like, man, damn it, it ain't worth it. Forget it. I ain't going to do it. But then again, I also come back like, you know what, I don't care. Report me. I'm going to just say what's on my mind. And I know, illallah. Ain't no God but Allah. I'm going to do what I'm going to have to do. That's number
one. But
we also got to be
mindful, fam, that look, because this is a social network, you don't really know who that is behind
Absolutely. That
picture and those words. See, there's agents. See, this social network has increased the level of the agents. And now we can see them more. Man, sometimes you might see something being posted by somebody with a Muhammad, and all the while it's a cracker named Johnson who's on the clock.
Yep.
That's right.
And he's on poke file under the name Muhammad, doing these things under the name Muhammad, because he's an agent for Vakatour.
Brother,
you feel me? So now, I mean, when you look at a sister who got the name Muhammad and she got a picture with Chris Style, see, that's somebody looking for trouble. Either she's a child. See, because remember, we have children. We name them Muhammad when they come out the womb. But when they become teenagers, we don't know if they're going to represent that Muhammad or not. So she could have been a child of that, or she could have been just a straight female provocateur, not even the person who's in the picture. You
Absolutely.
Feel me? It's Facebook.
Absolutely.
It's Facebook. So I learned, man, a long time ago, man, that look, I'm going to take this for what it is. It's Facebook. I don't know none of these people. I get people all the time hitting me up, hey, I love your music, but I don't know you. Jahar, up until now, hearing your voice, I didn't know whether you was an agent or not, because it's Facebook. You don't know nobody. All you know is what they posting. That's all you know is what they posting. I remember
Absolutely.
This dude posted something, and I told him, all right, you sound like an agent to me, man. To me, you sound like an FBI agent. I see your post says you in Fort Lauderdale. I'm not far from you. Let's meet face-to-face and talk about this. I ain't heard back from him again. Why you don't want to meet face-to-face? See, is it because you really are not who you say you are?
Absolutely.
No, Brother
so
Cloud, because you probably scared the mess out of him. I wouldn't meet you either.
No, man, I used to.
Not in the daytime at 12 noon.
I made it real clear, Sister Bridget. Look, no violence. I'm not threatening you with violence. I just want to talk about this face-to-face because I believe you work for the government of the United States. I believe you work for the CIA. If I'm wrong, then meet me face-to-face, and then I'll listen to what you got to say. I ain't heard nothing back. The man blocked. I told him, man, I don't want to hurt you. If you're a CIA agent, it ain't going to be it's not going to do me any good to put my hands on you because I'm going to end up in prison. You already know you're a CIA agent, so you ain't got to worry about me doing nothing to you. Let's meet face to face. But his cover was blown.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know these people, man. We don't know these people. We don't know it's Facebook. It's a social network. You don't know these people. You don't know who this is. They say they Muhammad, but you don't know.
Exactly. But, you know, we're talking about our sisters, though, who are really right in the community, who are up close and personal, who you can see, who you can observe, and you see their children, and you see where they are falling short. We want
our men to
maintain our sisters.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, if they don't have a husband. And we the time is narrowing down. I'm going to take this question. We're going to come back because I have one more question before we end the show. So, area code 619, your mic is open.
As-salamu alaykum.
Walaikum salam, sister. What's your name?
This is Sister Michelle out of San Diego, box number 8.
Walaikum salam, queen.
You, ma'am. It is so good to hear your voice, Brother Mustafa. I've been on Facebook
Praise
with you for a long time. So not
Praise
and Brother Papa 13. Assalamu alaikum, this is Sister Michelle. Okay, anyway.
Oh, assalamu alaikum, Sister Michelle. How you doing, sir?
Sister?
Yes, sir. It's such a pleasure to meet
you
and hear your voice. Praise be to Allah.
Yes, sir. Well, I just want to make a quick comment and ask a question, okay? I see what I'm noticing sometimes on Facebook when it comes to the brothers, and I'm talking about the brothers who have a habit of this. I can tell which sister they after by looking at my sister's pictures. Because one week is this sister, the next week is that sister, the next week is that sister. We got to cut that out. Also, the other quick comment is that these little secret rooms, I understand why they have to be secret. But my God, we need to come together and shut some of them down because I see believers in these rooms that will talk to teachers and then slash your throat. out of the same breath. Okay, now on to my question. I've often wondered when it says in the Quran about the men or the maintainers, and they are the providers of the woman. So I want to ask what Sister Gidja did, except for Sister Gidja said in the general. I'm asking about what about the single sisters in the Nation of Islam? Who are our maintainers? Who looks out for us? Because personally, I don't get any assistance from others. So I still have to do things and be that independent woman by myself. And to me, it personally don't make no sense. A brother can't come and take a flat tire. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
so why would I even desire a husband looking at, I mean, do I have to have a husband to get some assistance? That's what I'm saying.
Well, sister, being a sister myself, there's an old saying that you have not because you ask not. And,
yes,
you know, let me tell you what I mean by that. You know,
yes,
when you call someone to the standard, they can't argue with you. So what I'm saying to you is that sometimes if you ask and you get no response, sometimes you have to remind them of the standard, which is the basis of my show tonight. Because oftentimes I hear a lot of complaints about how other men, lost found men, are coming on to the sisters, how the sisters are acting out on Facebook or even in, you know, communities, people that they know up close and personally. And the brothers have a tendency to say, I don't want to say nothing to offend the MGT. You know, I don't want to get no F time or no C time because the sister report me or whatever. If you're holding her to the law, who can argue with you? So if there's something that you need, Sister Michelle, then you go to your sister captain and you tell her, look, I need A, B, and C. And she should see into it with the brother captain that you get the assistance that you need. That is the protocol. And if that doesn't follow through, then you need to go to the brother captain and say, you know, brother captain, this is what's going on, and I'm under the understanding that men are the maintainers of women. He can't argue with you. The men have to produce.
Okay.
They have to produce.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot misrepresent the FOI and be non-functioning. There's no such thing as a non-functioning FOI. Either you're a FOI, either you're not. So hold them to the law.
Right.
Hold them to the standard. Because no sister should go in need of house repair or car repair. No sister should say, look, brother, I get off the bus at 10 o'clock at night coming home from work. I got a 2-block walk, and I have no security. That should not ever happen.
That's right. That's right. I'm going to tell you a story right quick. There's a brother who's a mechanic in our mosque, and our sister needed some stuff done to a car, minor stuff. And when she came back and quoted to me the price he gave her, man, look, I went at that brother so hard that we ended up in the captain's office. And I expressed my feelings to the captain. You know, this is first of all, she's a single sister. She's an older sister. And she was willing to pay, but she's an MVP. And she came to the FOI for help. And you going to charge her this? You couldn't even give her a discount? I mean, I know that's what you do for a living. So you had to charge us something, but man, this ain't just no anybody, man. This is, you know, and you know, the captain made the brother not do it for free. He asked the brother if he should do it for free, as you know, because we are the maintainers of our women. But he asked the brother if he's not gonna do it for free to at least come down on the price. But you know, initially I thought I was gonna get put out because I went at brother real hard about that. I was escorting her to the car, and I asked her, did you ever find out about your car? And she was like, yeah, the brother said he would do it for so-and-so amount. And when I heard that, I didn't tell her anything. I just said, well, okay. And I went straight to the brother, man, and I ripped him. I felt I had to, man, because, first of all, I felt he shouldn't have to charge her at all. But the price he did charge her, it was just unjust, man. You know what I'm saying? He lucky I ain't swing on him. And it's only because of the restrictive law that that I ain't swing on because I ain't trying to get no time out. I ain't trying to get no F-class, but that's what I felt like doing when I heard the price that he quoted her.
Yes, sir.
We got to stop doing each other's any kind of way, believers. We got to stop that. Master Farah Muhammad is not at.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Okay, listen, I have a question out of the chat room for each one of you. And someone wants to know, she says that, oh, God, where's the question? Please ask the brothers, do they feel if it is their responsibility to maintain single black women, because it's not clear to me how they feel about that. So, real quickly, yes or no, Brother Alexander?
This is all these wise men on this line. Why you got to keep calling me out and put me in the fire?
I'm going to alphabetical order. Now answer the question.
Lord, have mercy. Okay, well, that's what we're talking about now. We're saying that, yeah. I mean, I think Brother Ivan made that clear, man. Brother Ivan made that clear that, yeah, all black women are our responsibility because we are the original man. We are God, and she is God's second self. So, you know, I think Brother Ivan made that clear already. I believe it was Brother Ivan.
Yes,
okay,
sir.
Well, maybe she didn't hear it, so we're reiterating it for her. So, Brother Ivan, your point of view one more time.
Go ahead, Brother Ivan. Praise
my,
be to Allah.
My point of view, I said that the black woman is the black man's responsibility no matter what. I even gave her the illustration of even when we see our sister with a Caucasian man, irregardless of her, you know, of course, she's his immediate responsibility because they're married. But we understand about her what he don't understand, so she's still our responsibility, even in the hands of the enemy. She's our responsibility. So, yes, we are to maintain our women. Now, of course, there has to be a line drawn because sometimes, you know, because of like the brother said, we tend sometimes to how did you say, sister? Some of the sisters are very vulnerable. And so there has to be a line drawn on what is considered maintained. And I'm going to give you this example. I remember when I first, my minister at the time, I got out of prison, and it was my first time going to sell a Final Call newspaper. And the brother told me, he said, brother, you think, because I went to prison for selling drugs. And so he said, brother, you think that the women liked you when you was in the streets with all that drug money. He said, the women will love you, brother. They see you cleaned up. They see a straight up and down black man, and they're going to be even more attracted to you. Of course, I didn't believe that. For example, we go to the door. The sister's coming down the stairs. Her night coat is buttoned up. When she gets to the door, you know, her night coat is wide open. Why am I saying that? We as men, regardless of what the women do, we have to show them that we're not like the men in the street. And if we are going to go help, even if she's a lost child sister, we ought to help them with respect. And if she's a sister that doesn't allow you to respect her, then leave her alone. She doesn't get the help that she asked for if she has. So I've had them, even right now in my own experience, I've had them have something else in mind. When they ask me, what can I find, how can I get with a man like you, I give them the address to the mosque. That's what I do.
Absolutely. Okay, and Brother Jihad, you want to answer the question for the sister? Do you feel like it's your responsibility to maintain even single black women?
Yes, ma'am. We should maintain black women, single, married, court, no matter. The black woman should be maintained, uplifted, respected, protected 24/7. Absolutely. There ain't no doubt
all
about
that. All praise to Allah. Okay, and Student Minister Mustafa?
Yes, ma'am, no doubt about it. She's my black sister. She comes from the same God as I, blood of my blood and flesh of my flesh. So that is my duty, that is my job, and it's my pleasure to be able to assist and help maintain my sister.
Yes, sir. Okay, last question, and we're going to have to move kind of quickly here. How many of you on the panel, and I also want Student Minister James is still here, and Brother Kareem, you're still here. Your mics are still open, so don't play. Don't act like you ain't there. I know y'all hear me, because I want all of you all to weigh in on this. Just looking at society in general, as well as the effects of slavery, has reformed or reshaped or reconditioned the mindset of the black woman. Do you think it would be better if career-oriented black women would come home and, if possible, and start businesses from home in order to get back to the knowledge of self? And I'm going to go around the table, and I'm going to start with you, Brother Mustafa.
Oh, could you restate that one more time?
With the condition of the black women today and the effects of slavery, as well as just the exposure to society, do you think that career-oriented women should start businesses at home so she can get back to the knowledge of self?
We're in a time where the Honorable Elijah Humbert said, do for self before you're forced to do for self. So she's on her way back home anyway, due to the circumstances and the conditions. She's on her way home anyway. But the question is, will the black man be able to hold it down and step his game up to be able to provide that maintenance when she does not have to be stressed out or worried about how the bill is going to be paid, how the light's going to be paid, where the water, where the next meal is going to come from? It's up to us as men to make sure that our women are not stressed and worried out. It's up to us as men to go out there and start businesses. It's up to us as men to make sure we do those things, to make sure there's even a flow coming into the household. Then she's our great assistant. Because one thing a sister told me, ain't nothing that a black man can't do with a black woman standing right next to him.
Okay, so what about the sisters who are single? You know, we have lawyers, doctors, you know, all kinds of career women, microbiologists, chemists who are single and who have this business knowledge, but the influence in corporate America and in society in general is reshaping the mind of the black woman. So even if she was to come home and being single, is that something that you would suggest that black women should do? Even if they're single.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. And Brother Jihad?
Yes, ma'am. I'm a sort of wishy-washy on that question. This is my thing. I don't feel comfortable knowing that the queen of the universe is at the workplace of the enemy, and he has access to her. And the access to her is for over 12, 13, 14 hours on her job. I don't feel comfortable with that because I know I will snap the cracker neck if he even thinks about touching the queen of the universe. Single, married, don't matter. I just don't feel comfortable with that. So I would feel a lot better if the sisters were at home, you know, doing for self. But if the sister's a lawyer and she's doing what she has to do for her own survival, then all praise is due to Allah. She has to do what she got to do regardless of where she's at. But my thing is this. The messenger's program is sufficient. So my question would be, is she willing to sacrifice her work ethic in the world of the Caucasian to do for self? Is the sister willing to come back home to do for self? Is she willing to do that? Now, we can't force the sisters to do anything they don't want to do. Absolutely not. It's not a dictatorship. However, she has to be willing to even come and even be willing to go along the program of the messenger. So, I mean, she can do what she want to do regarding that, but I mean, I feel like, personally, I would rather have her home where she's safe and, you know, she ain't got to worry about being in that type of environment. Single or married, don't matter. So.
Yes, sir. Okay. And Brother Ivan?
Should she come back home? Like, well, I agree with what Brother Mustafa said. I mean, she coming back home anyway. And then the thing about the single sisters, I mean, it would have to be a transition, of course, when one gets married. I'm not saying take her completely out of the workplace, but creating her own law practice for her own self instead of doing it for the devil, instead of doing it for the enemy. You know, just like you got the brothers and sisters in the Nation of Islam that helped with Minister Farrakhan. You know, they're lawyers, but they ultimately work for Farrakhan. So we have to, but as men, we have to create an environment where she can do that, where she can relax. And where we got it, well, if she wants to start her own firm, but we got the bills paid for while she's building up her own customer base. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, she should. Only if the man provides, we can't ask her to vacate what she has and then don't have nothing to replace it. We can't ask her to do that. That's not reasonable.
Yes, sir. Okay. And I want to hear from Brother Kareem and Brother Student Minister James before we go. So, Brother Kareem, let me bring his mic in. Brother Kareem?
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam.
Yes, ma'am. All right. Well, all I can do personally is speak from my own experience. And bottom line is this: is yeah, I agree with the last comment that the brother made. Like I said, we do have to create an environment. We, as the maintainers of women, must create the environment. And I'll just say this: in my situation, my wife at the time came home. She had no choice because going along with what Brother Mustafa said, like I said, she had to come out of the workplace. They put her out of the workplace. However, I look at it, nothing happens without a law's permission. It goes back to...
Okay, let me see where it's at.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
No, that's not P13's mic.
Yeah. Okay.
Ain't better than high mic.
Right. As I was saying, I mean, that is the thing. Also, yes, they have to want to be maintained, meaning they got to have the proper mindset. So, I mean, the thing is that when my wife came home, I gave her two businesses that were already set up, okay? They weren't making $1 million a year, but the structure was there. And the thing is they have to be willing to go into that. So, and I'm saying, when we're talking about now at this moment, a Muslim woman, someone who has been raised or introduced to this form of teaching. So they have to be ready to take on that responsibility. As you were just saying, Queen Aziza, when they have been compromised, I'm going to use that word, by this society, their mind is not really in that, then yes, there's going to be a transition. Because when she would go back and forth on different jobs, I never asked her, how much did you make on that job? It's my job to continue to maintain and to continue to move forward, set the example. Yes, it is vital that our professional women, the black woman that's a professional, is vital that she come out of Babylon, I'm going to use that terminology, and come on so that we can build this nation. The only thing that's holding us back, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan kind of told us, is ourselves. So, yes, I agree with that 100%. You know, it's time. It's time out. However, since the enemy's world looks so attractive, what are we going to attract her with? I mean, at the end of the day, me wearing a uniform and a bow tie is not enough. Because that's outward. I have to actually be the God walking and talking on whatever level I'm at
in my development. I must be that in order to bring that about. And that's my take on it. I'm with you.
Yes, sir. Okay. And Student Minister James Muhammad.
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.
You know, dear family, I hear much of, you know, the express necessity for the woman to come out of the world, to come home. That is to imply that of her own volition, she should put herself in a condition by which she, on her own steam, can come home. But the reality of it is, she didn't send herself out into the world to maintain herself. We sent her by our unwillingness and or inability to maintain her in a world we desired her to be in. And so the woman is doing exactly what she must do to care for herself, to protect herself, to sustain and to maintain herself. We have to look at the responsibility of the man. And in terms of maintenance for all women, it's not just maintaining the woman individually who may have ties to you through marriage or through familial relationships. But if we're going to maintain our women as stewards, not only of our women, but of our community and of the world, we have to create and maintain a righteous environment in which the woman can be maintained. What good is it to maintain a woman who is our wife or child who is our daughter and then send them into a world that is totally against those principles that we are trying to keep her to govern her life within? So our responsibility is to create the environment. And yes, I would definitely prefer that the woman be home. She should be home. But, dear brother, have we created a circumstance in which she can be home? I mean, I hear the statistic repeated over and over again that 75% of black families are headed up by a single parent, and usually that single parent is a woman. Well, then what do you expect her to do? If she has the initiative to go and increase her knowledge, to become professional, then what must she do? If she has a child and there's no man or the father is absent, what do you expect her to do? We have to stop putting the responsibility on our women, and we have to protect them when we know that there is no man or any father figure there to maintain her. We have an obligation to protect her as she goes out to maintain herself and her family. And that protection extends to creating an environment where she can walk safely, work safely, live safely, play safely, and do that which dignifies her as a woman. And so this is on us, dear brothers. And finally, you know, in the hierarchical structure of family, it says man is the head of woman, and Christ is the head of man, and God is the head of Christ. Well, in that structure, each level justifies the next level. How can a man maintain or be the head of a woman if he refuses to allow Christ to be his head? And then, of course, the head of Christ is God. And Christ said, I can of myself do nothing, but whatsoever the Father commands me, that will I do. What he bids me to speak, that will I say. And so the prerequisite for any man to be the head of a woman or any man to maintain the woman is that that man must be maintained by the mind, the principle, the statutes, laws, and commandments of God and His Christ. And so, yeah, we wanna bring the woman home, not tell her to come home, not impose upon her the responsibility of setting up a business if she's a professional so that she can be home. I mean, that's desirable, but the responsibility is on our shoulders, brother. And as long as we don't create a society in which the woman can be saved as she pursues a life of righteousness and virtue, as long as we shirk our responsibility to the society, it doesn't matter what we do to her or for her personally. What is done for her personally is rendered null and void if we don't have a society that reflects what we are trying to get her or do for her on an individual level. It's our responsibility. It's on our shoulders. Not come out of her, my people, in that sense, or come out of her, my sister, or come out of her, dear woman. No, we sent them out by our losing our moral authority. We sent her out by not being able to maintain her. We sent her out by our disrespect and our neglect of our women. We sent her out, so we have the responsibility of bringing her back. And we can only do that if we build something she has to come back to. So I'll leave it there. Thank you, sister.
All praises due to Allah. Thank you. Well, I just want to know one question. Do I have some soldiers on the phone?
Yes, ma'am.
You already know what it is.
I got some soldiers on the phone. Okay.
Yes,
well, this is what I did. This is what I did. I wrote a pledge, and I want y'all to take it. Anybody down with me? It ain't nothing that's going to kill you, I promise.
Let's do
anybody
this.
Anybody down with me?
Come on.
All
let's
right.
do this.
Okay, y'all ready? Y'all ready to take the pledge?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Okay. Okay, everybody repeat after me. I. Say your name.
Kareem Muhammad.
Abdullah Abdul Aziz Muhammad.
Will protect.
Will protect.
Maintain.
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 And respect.
And respect.
All black women on the planet Earth.
To the best of my ability.
In the name of Allah.
In the name of Allah.
What was the
Amen.
One
that
was
That's it.
Now, I like
what
that.
What was the line before in the name of Allah?
I like that.
I didn't hear that line.
That, I like that.
All right,
so
okay, I can't hear you. What'd you say?
No, in the full pledge, the line right before in the name of Allah, I didn't hear that line, and I would like to hear it.
Oh, okay.
The pledge is that I will respect, protect, and maintain all black women on the planet Earth to the best of my ability in the name
of Allah.
That's right. That's
yes, sir. Okay, brothers, I so much appreciate you, Brother Mustafa. It was a treat and a very distinct honor to have you with us. And you know, I have a rule on the show: you can come on one time, but you can't just come on one time. You got to come back, and everybody on here can bear witness to that, Brother Ivan. Thank you so much for your input, dear brother. Brother Jahad, my little firecracker brother over there, thank you for putting it down and defending the women and defending the minister the way you do. Brother Problem 13, I was blown away that you showed up, and he wasn't he wasn't an original panelist. Really, it was supposed to be his manager, Brother Chris Muhammad. And Brother Chris called me and said, I got somebody who's going to take my place. I said, well, nobody can take your place. And he said, well, I'm sending Problem 13. I was like, you know, I love you so much. And we always will support what you do. And we love your music. So thank you. And always, 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 my backbone, my big brother, Kareem Muhammad from St. Louis, Missouri, who was always there. And my little shadow, not my little shadow, but my big shadow, my big brother, who is all the way from Tampa, Florida, student minister, James Muhammad, always got my back. Much love and appreciation for your input, too, sir. So thank all of you so, so very much. And we have to come back and do this again. I don't know when, but we will definitely do this again. So be prepared to come back. May Allah bless you all. May Allah bless all of us with the light of understanding. Excuse me, and I leave you as I came before you. Assalamu alaikum, one nation, one love. Good night, y'all.